Okay. So I want to review a little bit what we did last time, and I want to take it from there. So just to review, we were talking about some of the issues that arise in regard to Eruvin, Bisman Hazeh, and specifically we're talking about Eruvei Tchumin. So the Mishnah, at the beginning of the parak, has spoken about Ketzon Me'avrin Es Ha'arim. How do you elongate the city? So in the simple pshat, the terminology, Lur Shalir, this is how it's understood by the Chazanish, applies, as we mentioned last time, not only to the notion of having a space of 70 2/3 amos that is extended from the end of a city, and we mentioned the machlokis between Machaber and the Ramah, as to whether you automatically extend 70 2/3 amos, that's the way that the Ramah paskins, like Rabbi Meir, or whether you say that it's only if there's an actual house that's within 70 2/3 amos that goes outside of the city that elongates the city. That's what the Machaber holds. And I mentioned the Ramah is tukulos, that the Ramah holds that, number one, even if there is no bias, so you automatically have a 70 2/3 amos extension, and even if there are batim, you can count an additional 70 2/3 amos after the last bias that juts out. I mentioned that the Mishnah Berurah, the Be'er Halacha, wasn't so crazy about the second kula. He said you could accept the first kula, but not the second kula. That's already too much. The Chazon Ish thinks that once you're extending the city through the batim, if they're really inhabitable batim, we're really talking about genuine real-life batim, so that's really extending the city. So then why wouldn't you be able to count an extra 70 2/3 almost after the last bias? If it's something which is an abandoned structure, so then we can understand that we wouldn't go maybe an additional 70 2/3 amos. But he thought that otherwise it made sense, like the Ramah said, to extend there an additional 70 2/3 amos. And the Machaber just follows the Shitas Chachamim that the only time that you automatically add, even without additional batim outside of the city, an additional 70 2/3 amos is if I have two cities on either side. And there was like a wall that fell down, and now I have a space between the two cities of 140 1/3 amos. Each one has a 70 2/3 amos that jut out, and if there's a 140 1/3 amos or less between the two different cities, so then we say that combines the two cities to become one city. So we see that there's such a thing that we use an Ibur Shalir to combine two cities together. That even though they're not actually two cities, if they're close enough together, then they could count as two cities. That's important to know, because there is a notion that we see in Daf Samach Aleph from an Aleph, that's today's Daf, that if a person is within a city, then the entire city is treated as Dalet Amos. That if you start your Shvisa in a particular city, that's where you began Shabbos, so even if it's much longer than 2,000 amos, you're allowed to walk the entire city. That's not a problem at all. So if I combine two cities to be one city, so then I'd be able to walk the entire city. So we spoke a little bit last time about how this impacts on on Riverdale. If somebody lives in Riverdale and they want to walk to Washington Heights, or somebody lives in Washington Heights and they want to walk to Riverdale, do I say that those are somehow combined? So there are different ways that it's possible to combine them. So one way that we discussed was this other idea of Ibur Shalir, which is more commonly understood as Ribur Shalir, that if I have places of a city that jut out in uneven directions to the left and to the right, or to the east and to the west and to the north and to the south, so then I draw a giant rectangle around the whole thing, and that's considered to be the entire city. So one way that we looked at how far you can go within the Bronx was if I draw an entire rectangle around the northern and southern and eastern and western borders of the Bronx, assuming that it counts as a city. That's a separate discussion we haven't gotten to. What counts as a city? A city is supposed to have, as we said, supposed to have three chatzeros and two batim each. It's considered to be a city. So we really have chatzeros with Manasseh. We spoke at the beginning of the year. The Ramah says that nowadays we may not even have a genuine chatzeros. So do you really need chatzeros? It's what we have. You have apartment buildings that count as chatzeros. How close does everything have to be together? So that's a separate discussion. So let's assume there are various achronim who say that there are other ways of defining a city in terms of the number of inhabitants and so forth. So let's assume that our cities are cities. So if we assume that the city is a city, and then you go north, south, east, and west, so when you draw the big rectangle around the Bronx, so the big rectangle around the Bronx, as we drew it, ends up potentially encompassing Washington Heights, right? That's the way that we ended up drawing it. So we pointed out that there are different ways of drawing the Ribur of the Bronx, But we mentioned that the Gemara says, this is the Gemara Daf Nat Nun Vav. The Gemara says that when you have a natural rectangle of a city, so then you follow the natural rectangle, and that's considered to be the geographical boundaries of the city for purposes of walking on Shabbos. But if you don't have a natural rectangle and you're drawing the rectangle around the city because it's uneven on all of the different sides, so then you draw the Ribuo Shalolam, and you draw it according to the north, south, east, west boundaries of the world, of the geographical compass of the world. You got to use a compass, and that's how you do it. So we mentioned that there is one potentially dissenting sheet for the Shari Tshuva, quoted in Oda Behuda, that in the event that it's already been drawn, that the whole world draws it a particular way. They draw the Ribuo a particular way, so then you follow the way that everybody draws it. So we weren't sure if the Ribuo of the Bronx had been drawn by everybody in the world a particular way. So we drew it. We said that maybe if in all the subway stations it's drawn a particular way, so you have to maybe worry about that. But otherwise, we drew the Ribuo Shalolam. So when we drew the Ribuo Shalolam, it appears that at least the eastern side of the heights gets included within the map of the Eir Beit Tuchumin. So it would follow from there that certainly if you start out, if you're a Rivadelian, and you're starting out in Riverdale, and you're trying to figure out what's your city that you can walk during the course of Shabbos, the entire Dalet Amos of the city. The city's considered to be one unit, so then you would be presumably able to travel to the heights, and you'd be able to walk back from the heights to Riverdale afterwards. That was our exploration last time when we were drawing the picture around the Bronx. Yes? Okay, good. Now, there's a machlokus. And this is important because it also relates to how far you can go when you're going from one city to another city. So machlokas in the Mishnah, the Tepanim of Samach Aleph and Aleph. So the Mishnah over here is a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. And the machlokas specifically has to do with what happens if you in one city and you put your Eruv in another city. You can put your Eruv Beit Tchum in another city as long as it's within 2,000 amos of where you are. It's generally assumed, this is a discussion that Be'er Lach and Simen Tav Ches, it's generally assumed that you can even put it within 2,000 amos of the end of your city. Even if your house is in the middle of the city, you can put your Eir Beit Tuchum in 2,000 amos, within 2,000 amos after the end of the city. It's a little bit of a question as to whether the Rambam holds that way. So the Be'er Lach, I think, close to Magen Avraham, is saying that he thinks that the Rambam would agree with that as well. The Rambam has a Sefer Chumah that we'll get to in a bit. So if you could put your, I'll get to it now. The Rambam has a chumah that if you happen to put your Eir Beit Tuchum outside of the city, say it's 2,000 amos outside of the city, but it's not 2,000 amos within your house, so then if you go to that location, when you're walking back to the city afterwards, you can only walk 2,000 amos. And if your house is not within that 2,000 amos, you can't walk within that 2,000 amos. So that's how the Mechaber Paskins that way. So the Ramah doesn't pass in that way. The Ramah says no, that when you get back, since you were Kovei Shvisa in the city, as long as you slept in your house, it's a question if you didn't sleep in your house, if you were just there banished marshals, but as long as you slept in your house, then that's considered like you were Kovei Makom in the entire city, and as long as you're able to walk back to the edge of the city in the middle of Shabbos, you'll be able to walk back to your house as well. So the Be'er Lach thinks that Rova Rishonim are in accordance with the Ramah on this. That you wouldn't be allowed to walk all the way back to your house, but he does acknowledge that this is a shita of the Torah, based on Rashi, that you would be allowed to return to your house. So anyway, there's a machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. If a person placed their eruv in this other city, are they allowed to walk through the entire duration of the other city? Or only 2,000 amos to the makom of their eruv. The Rabbi Akiva holds that you can only walk 2,000 amos, and the Chachamim hold that you can walk the entire distance. However, let's say you didn't put an Eir Beit Tuchum in the other city. You just happened to walk 2,000 amos, and the 2,000 amos came to an end in the middle of the other city. If the 2,000 amos, the other city is encompassed within the 2,000 amos that you're walking, so there's another Girsa in the Mishnah that is described at the top of Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, that we also paskin like, that says that there's an additional Kula based on that Girsa of our Mishnah, that if the entire city is encompassed within your 2,000 amos, so that other city is considered like Dalet Amos. So if you walk 500 amos, you get to the other city, and that city is only 1,000 amos, so then that counts as 4 amos, and then you have another 1,496 amos after that. That's another cooler that we hold like. But let's say that you don't have that. Let's say that the city will really come to an end before you get to the end of your 2,000 amas. So now you walk 2,000 amas, you're in the other city. So do you have the right, since we say you're in another city, so that city is like Dalet Amos for the people who live there. So now that you're there, you legitimately have the right to walk there because it's within your 2,000 amas. Do we say that you can walk throughout the entire city? So the answer is no. So that's the last line of the Mishnah. Everybody knows it. You can't do that. Everybody knows that. That for the person who's counting his 2,000 amos, we give him only 2,000 amos. This is somebody who didn't put out down a tchum, put down an Eir Beit Tchumen in the other city. He didn't put down his box of matzahs. He just happens to walk there on Shabbos. So he's allowed to walk 2,000 amos, but then wherever it ends, it ends. So somebody is walking, say, from outside of from the Bronx to Manhattan. And it happens, and let's say that it's not included, that we wouldn't be included for Yibur Shalir. And let's say this is a separate part of Manhattan that's outside the Yibur Shalir altogether. And the person walks his 2,000 amos outside of the place where he's allowed to start walking outside of the Bronx, and he gets the 2,000 amos in Manhattan. So he has to stop. We can't say, oh, because he was allowed to walk, let's say the 2,000 amos takes him to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, but he was coming from outside of Manhattan. So we don't say, well, because he was allowed to walk to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, therefore he can go all the way to Battery Park. We don't say that. We only say that if he started in Manhattan. He started in the city, so then he could walk throughout the city. He didn't stop in the city. He came from the outside. So every 2,000 amos ends, it ends, and he can't go any further. So this is a halakha l'kulei amos. This has nothing to do. The machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is when a person put down an Eir Beit Tchumen in the other city. Yes?
If a person lives in a gigantic city like Manhattan, can he, and his 2,000 amos doesn't cover and encompass the whole city, can he still walk more than 2,000 amos? Or is that like, even though it's in his own starting city, maybe he still...
If you assume that the city is continuous, that it doesn't have an interruption at any point that would cause it to however you draw the Yibur Shalir, it would include all of Manhattan from Battery Park all the way up to the place north of Washington Heights?
Inwood, yeah.
What? Inwood. All the way to Inwood. So it goes all the way from Battery Park to Inwood. So if you assume that it's all one city, so that he could walk the entire city. It is possible to have something which on the map or in the books is called a city, but it's really an amalgamation of different shkunot. That there's a sufficient separation. Even if you take into account the ribua of each area, there's a sufficient separation of more than 141 and third amos from one dwelling place to another dwelling place that you would have several shkunot. So we're assuming, for purposes of this discussion, that the city is a city. That it's all considered to be a city. That however we define the city, that this is a big question, how to define a city. It's a separate discussion. We'll assume that it's all considered to be one city. So then the person would be able to walk throughout. If it would be shown that it's really not all one city, so then you're right, that you have an issue in that regard. So, yes.
Can you explain the story again with just the plain halakha that everybody agrees on with the tchum? So if the tchum goes beyond the city, the whole city counts as Dalet Amot. If it cuts through the city, then I'm limited to that tchum.
Yeah.
So why is it that, why do we have that distinction? Why don't we just say that you made it to the city instead of counts as Dalet Amot? I understand the Mishnah says that, but what's the svara for it?
The svara is that you're entitled to your tchum. So your tchum goes for 2,000 amos, then you're not entitled to anything beyond that 2,000 amos. Within the 2,000 amos, so once you're within that 2,000 amos, then we have a din that a city has a din of Dalet Amos. That the city, once it's within that 2,000 amos area, and it ends within that 2,000 amos area, so it's a special din that city is treated as Dalet Amos. That's the interpretation of the Mishnah. If you would get to all the way at, if your 2,000 amos ends and the city is still going on, so then I no longer have the ability to elongate your tchum at that point in time. That's the Mishnah. The filu sof midaso kol the ma'ara. Even if it was in an area that was a circumscribed area, but your 2,000 amos came to an end in the middle of that area, so that's the halacha. The svara behind it is that one is mubla and one is not mubla. One is mubla b'toch ha-tchum, and the other one is not mubla b'toch ha-tchum.
Yeah, but if I reply that svara would be mubla, let's say it's 1,800 amos until I arrive at the city.
Yeah.
Now I'm at 1,800 amos, and the city is 500 amos. But if I say the whole city is like Dalet Amot, then I have another
It's not mubla within my 2,000 amos. Once it's mubla within my 2,000 amos, so then I can treat it as Dalet Amos. But if it's not well mubla within my 2,000 amos, so then I can't treat it as Dalet Amos. It's not mubla. I have to go outside of my tchum in order to be able to condense it. I can condense something which is within my 2,000 amos, but I'm not allowed to condense something which is outside of my 2,000 amos. So the question raised by the Chazon Ish is as follows. And this is kind of a question that's not really addressed specifically in the Gemara. So the Gemara indicates that if I have two cities that are apart from each other, let's say Bronx and Manhattan, for example, and they're both apart from each other. So if I have two cities that are both apart from each other, if there's 141 and a third amos between them, so we're going to combine the two cities. But that's if I have the regular city that we're talking about. What if I have not the ikker of the cities that are 141 and, a third amos away from each other, but I have two cities that end up overlapping each other because of these big rectangles that I draw around the city. As I mentioned, if I draw a big rectangle around the Bronx, so I'm going to encompass part of Manhattan. So do I say, therefore, that Bronx and Manhattan are then considered to be one city, and if I start the day from the Bronx, I can walk throughout Manhattan? Or if I start the day in Manhattan, I can walk throughout the Bronx because of the fact that they have they're not only within 140 miles of each other, but they're actually combined with each other based on the Ribua Shalir. So that's a question which is raised by the Chazon Ish, and there's a big raging machlokus among contemporary authorities as to what the Chazon Ish said. If you read the Chazon Ish in Erevin, you would understand how you could have a raging authority among authorities as to what the Chazon Ish said. So the Chazon Ish says a lot in Hilchos Erevin. So this is a topic that's brought in Siman Kuf Yud, Sifra Katan Tes Zayin, where he raises the following question. He talks about if each of the cities are separated from each other by only 70 amos in each direction, 141 amos altogether, so then they're considered to be one. What if you have a city which has these protrusions that come out of it, right? As we mentioned, that the eastern side is not entirely even. And so to the western side and so forth. That we said that we draw the rectangle. Osina sub can mean tabla. We draw the rectangle around it. So when I draw the rectangle around it, now it's combined into another city. So Maushi Ibor Azeh Yasishtan Kiyo Achas. Do we say that this form of Ibor, as I said, the Chazon Ish calls it Ibor Shalir, another version of it? What do we say? Does this rectangular enclosure expansion cause us to combine the two cities to be considered to be like one city? And he goes on and on and on. And he says at the end, this is the end. I'm not entirely sure. So the Sefer Kiryas Ariel. This is a very nice Sefer on Erevin that was published about 15 years ago. So there's been a number of an Erevin Tzkumen. There's been a number of svarim since then, published in Erev Eitz Klumin as well. It's a hot subject. So he goes to the Chazon Ish, and he says that he has not a question, that the Chazon Ish never intended to have any kind of suffix at all about those areas that are outside of what he calls the Sheka Ha'ir. The Chazon Ish only had a question about those areas that may include the protrusions themselves. But the area, the rectangular areas that you're drawing around the protrusions, that's causing you to encompass areas where this city itself has no houses whatsoever. So he is of the opinion that the Chazon Ish never had a scintilla of suffix about those areas that, of course, they're not included within what we would call the city limits, and therefore the fact that they overlap with another city does not at all combine the two cities to be considered to be the same city. So that is his conclusion. And he brings a siyata gedola from the fact that the Chazon Ish himself sent out a ruling in his handwriting, which I think he publishes in the Sefer. And he says that he held that those residents, this was in Israel, those evidence who lived in the Montefiore section, which was, I guess, where was this Montefiore section located? This was for people who wanted to go from Tel Aviv to Bnei Brak on Shabbos. So he said that if the people who lived in Shkunas Montefiore wanted to walk to Tel Aviv, they only had the right to walk within the 2,000 amos that would end at some point in Tel Aviv, but they couldn't go beyond those 2,000 amos. But only if they would leave an Eretz Chumen in Tel Aviv would they be allowed to walk the entire Tel Aviv. So he then took out some maps of the distances at that time between Shkunas Montefiore and Tel Aviv, and he came to the conclusion that if you drew a ribua, you drew the outer rectangle of Tel Aviv, taking into account all of its protrusions, then a little bit of Shkunas Montefiore actually ended up being included within Tel Aviv. And if you argue that the overlapping of territories based on the drawing of the rectangle causes cities to be considered like one city, then it would not. Then the hora of the Chazon Ish wouldn't have made any sense, because then according to Shitaso, he should have ruled that it would be perfectly permissible based on the combination of the cities for the residents of Montefiore to walk throughout all of Tel Aviv without making an Eretz Chumen, because the two would have been the same city. So that is the raya that he brings as to why he thinks that this is his interpretation. Otherwise, he reads into the language of the Chazon Ish as he's deliberating upon the issue. So Chazon Ish uses language that he attaches great significance to, where he says that Hachinami, maybe we should argue Ibo Shetocha Ir Ki Ir Damya, that the fact that he uses this lashon of Ibo Shetocha Ir shows that he's not talking about the additional areas that are included in drawing out the rectangle, but he's talking about his question mark about those areas that are protruding from the main part of the city on the sides, and he's asking the question about those territories, and of course he had no question about the other territories that for sure would not be considered to be part of the city, at least for purposes of combining the city with another city. So that, of course, is a big question mark, because if you look at Manhattan as kind of its own distinct place, and you look at the Bronx, so the Ibura of the Bronx goes into Washington Heights. And if I say that I don't treat them all as one city as a result, so that it would follow that you could go maybe to Washington Heights, but you wouldn't necessarily be able to go to Battery Park City, because we're not combining the two cities. That's number one. But number two, if you were going in the opposite direction from Manhattan to the Bronx, while the boroughs of the Bronx might include Washington Heights, the borough of Manhattan does not include Riverdale. There are two different ways of drawing the borough of Manhattan. You can draw the borough of Manhattan by just looking at the shape of Manhattan and saying it's basically a rectangle. And since the Gemara Nun Hei says when it's basically a rectangle, we essentially leave it the way that it is, and we don't have to draw a larger rectangle around it, the borough shel olam. So if I said that, then I get less of a space in Manhattan. If I say that, no, Manhattan also has areas that jut out, like, for example, East Harlem juts out from the rest of the rectangle of Manhattan, and if I then drew it, Ribua Shel Olam, so I would have a very interesting rectangle that would include parts of Richfield, include Clifford and Cliffside Park and Gutenberg and other places that are on this map in New Jersey, and might actually also include the George Washington Bridge. So that would have an impact on the question as to whether you would be allowed to cross across the George Washington Bridge on Shabbos, if you consider that to be Ribul Shoir, which is a separate discussion, a very fascinating discussion in its own right. I think Rosh Schechter holds that Manhattan basically has a rectangular shape, more or less, and therefore we don't change it one iota. If you don't change it one iota, we don't have that issue. But either way, whether you hold that we don't draw a further Ribul, whether we do draw a further Ribul, if I'm taking the position that the Ribul Shoir, the overlapping with each other, don't create one city, so then one could potentially make the argument that you would be allowed to walk from, and this is, I believe, Rosh Schechter's position, that you'd be allowed to walk from Riverdale to Washington Heights and back, because that's all considered to be the Ribul of the Bronx, but you wouldn't be allowed to walk from Washington Heights to Riverdale, because they're not considered to be combined to be one city. And therefore, I don't have a combination between the two cities, and I'm restricted to 2,000 amos outside of Manhattan. Particularly, if I draw Manhattan in such a way that it does not include any part of the Bronx at all. If I draw Manhattan, a ribua, or around Manhattan, ribua shel olam, so then it's possible that I actually might end up including some of the Bronx, although it's not entirely clear from this particular picture that I have. If you take a look, I am able to get a little bit of a northeast corner. If I drew a ribua around Manhattan, the ribua shel olam, the northeastern corner might end up just a little bit getting me into kind of Melrose territory. If Melrose territory is the southwest Bronx, so then I might get a tiny little piece of the Bronx included in that map as well, which could also potentially have an Afkamina Ladina. But certainly, if you don't expand the rectangle of Manhattan, and here I'm happy to pass around the little diagram that I have. If you don't expand the rectangle of Manhattan, and just for your point of reference, here's the diagram that we had last time in the Bronx. If you don't expand your diagram of Manhattan, and you also interpret the Chazanish the way that the Chazanish is interpreted by the Sefer Kiryas Ariel, and then you end up with this sort of anomalous situation where you would be able to go from the Bronx into Manhattan, and not from Manhattan into the Bronx. Now, Rabbi Willig is of the opinion that this is a misread of the Chazanish, and that it's not the case that the Chazanish held the halakha l'maisa that you could not combine the cities in this particular fashion. But that is the shita of the that is the shita certainly of the Kiryat Ariel. So as we see, there are genuine halakha l'maisa consequences and implications even bisman hazeh with respect to some of these issues as to where you draw the ribuo shalir. Now he does mention over here in a footnote based on another comment of the Chazanish, this is getting back to the Sefer Kiryat Ariel, that if I have a piece of a second city, let's say the Bronx, that would be somehow included within the ribua of city number one, which in this case would be which would be Manhattan, that his interpretation there of the Chazanish, this is in Simon Pei, of his comments to Daf Nun Hei, Dibur Maskel Sham, is that even if you're on the other side of the Bronx, let's say only a portion of the Bronx goes into the Ribua of Manhattan, but you're on the other side of the Bronx, that those who are outside of the Ribua, who are in the Bronx, would be allowed to walk through the entire Manhattan. So it should follow as well that if a little piece of Manhattan went into the ribuo of the Bronx, the other way around, that the people of Manhattan would be, even who weren't included in the ribuo, would be able to walk through the Bronx. So that's why, in order to be machmir over here, you would really have to say two things. You would have to say that the ribuo of Manhattan doesn't touch any part of the Bronx at all, because we just basically follow the map, since it's essentially a rectangle anyway. And number two, the fact that the ribuo of the Bronx goes into Manhattan does not cause the two cities to be considered to be one city for its filming purposes. Okay, we'll stop here because we have a big Yomi Mishraim lunch to attend. Okay. Oh, tomorrow morning